Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sister Jada Presents, where we are intentional, inspirational, and impactful, spotlighting businesses and entrepreneurs, organizations, ministries, authors, artists, musicians, and leaders who have taken a leap of faith, thriving and impacting communities and individuals across the globe. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And this month's theme is resurrection, restoration, and revival. And we are continuing with that theme. And today our guest is Lucrista Valentine. And she is an intercessor and author of many books like Why Must I Pray?, Prayers of the Distinction, Simply Pray, Provision, Protection, Encouragement, Enlighten, The Sword of the Blessings Upon Blessings, and her newest project, Divine Protection. But today, we are excited because we are going to be focusing on one of her book projects called Judged by Your Appearance, Rejected by Society. So we are excited, and we want to welcome back Lucrista Valentine. We welcome you back. We thank you for accepting the invitation to come back on and bless us with your wisdom, with your your presence, with your experience. We just thank God for you. So thank you, Lucrista Valentine, for coming back. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello, Sister Jada.
Hello. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started. We're so excited about today. First of all, you are definitely a woman of God. You have a pen of a ready writer. You've been guided and led by the Holy Spirit to write these books. I have judged by your appearance right in front of me, and I can recall some of the book projects were written during the pandemic. And you also have a new book project. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So we're going to go ahead and get started. So let's talk about Judged by Your Appearance. First of all, if anyone wants to go back and listen to the first episode, you can. But we really want to get in depth. We'll give you the date of the episode where Lucrista Valentine shared before, but can you share what is the inspiration behind the book Judged by Your Appearance, Rejected by Society?
Excuse me, my voice is kind of hoarse this afternoon. What inspired me to write this book was I encountered a lot of rejection and ostracizing because of my size, being overweight as a little girl, a young girl, a teenager, when I came into womanhood, all of that. And it was quite an ordeal. I mean, it left a lot of scars and wounds and the way that I act and, things would come up and how I would relate to people. And it all derived from what I went through, being bullied and teased coming up. I went through self-rejection because people, they seemed to hate it. They hated me. You know, there's no other word for it. That's what I got from people. That's what they projected. They projected hate because I was a overweight girl, you know, just dealing with obesity, you know. Society just really can be and show their ugliness when it comes to people that may be of different, you know, or not the norm, you know, not the majority. If you're different in any kind of way, they seem to, you know, that's the response you know, from society. That's the response from them. I remember having a friend younger, and he had a birthmark on his face. So one side of his face was green, literally. Mm-hmm. The color of his face on one side was green. He went through so much as a little kid.
Right.
Because people, you know, they can't identify, you know, with something different or that's not the norm. So they place judgment on it. They judge you immediately. They don't give, you know, that person a chance to show themselves, to be who they are. And you know, I've gone through situations where they, I wish I'd got friends with you, became friends with you sooner. You know, I didn't know you were like this. You know, I didn't know you were nice. And because you never gave a person a chance. You judged them.
Right.
You didn't like, you ostracized them. So you stayed away. You made them, you know, keep away from you. You know, you pushed them away. And it's just, you know, and it comes in so many different forms, Jada. It's unreal.
Right.
It comes in so many different forms. It's, you know, you could be disabled. And, you know, you know, just like I said, the young man with the birthmark, you could be too skinny. You're too fat. You're too dark. Your hair too short. They called you bald headed. This, you know, it's just like, oh, my goodness, it's such a bad thing. You know, then they stigmatize you. Okay, oh, so you're fat, so you're lazy. Oh, so you overeat. You know, you can get it off. Just exercise. Just go on a diet. Oh, my goodness, you talking about some critical people?
Right.
You know,
and let's talk about the trauma, because one of the things you said, like in your book, that you experience social anxiety, and can you share a little of that and how you got through it? Because it may be someone that's listening and they're dealing with social anxiety and they really need to get to the root of it. And so can you? Because, I mean, it's results, it's things that it's trauma from things that people have to experience. So when somebody's being bullied, that carries on. That carries on into their adulthood. They're being bullied as a child. So can you share, you know, a little bit of the social anxiety that you experience?
Yeah. It was hard for me to even step out the door, you know. So now I'm in high school, but it's still I'm carrying all these things that happened to me in middle school, grade, you know, grammar school, and so on, you know. And so I would have to, and I called it back then, psych my mind out. I would have to psych myself out. Because now I got to go out here and I got to go to school. I got to get on this bus with all these people looking at me, staring at me, pointing at me, laughing at me. And I would literally have to psych myself out, and I would just go do what I had to do. The anxiety came when I would have to be around a crowd of people. Oh, I would get so anxious. My stomach would literally just turn, just be upset for the fear. You know, for the fear, how I'm going to, will I be accepted or what they're going to do to me? You know, what they're going to say? You know, how they're going to treat me? I was like that around my own family. Literally, social gatherings is the hardest for those that go through that. So that's why they become hermits. You know, that's why they get secluded and be off to themselves. Because, you know, a fear of being rejected some more. And those anxieties, they can overtake you, Jay. And we all know fear can paralyze you.
Right. And that's so true. And then in your book, you have rejection is ruling my life, self-evaluation. So signs to look for. And mm-hmm. I was reading over those, and I was like, wow. You know, I mean, there was a couple of things in here that I've overcome. One of them kind of stood out as something that I still have to deal with. And do you mind me reading these for the listeners? Do you mind me reading these?
Please. No,
okay.
Not at all. Please read.
Okay. So in the Chris of Valentine's book, Judged by Your Appearance, Rejected by Society, it is a very powerful book. And she has a part here where you can evaluate yourself, basically, self-evaluation. And these are signs to look for. You struggle to share your opinion for the fear of being judged and rejected. Another one is you fear standing out and being different, so you try to blend in. You lack confidence and can't seem to say no. That's something that I just had to overcome, so I thank God for that. I'm being transparent also. You're a people pleaser. You gain your self-worth from being socially likable. You're extremely self-conscious and aware of what people think of you. You don't feel equal with others. You have a weak sense of personal identity. You want to be like someone else rather than being yourself. You say and do things to be accepted even if you disagree with them. You struggle to open up to others for fear of being judged. You keep a lot to yourself and feel socially isolated. You have low self-esteem. You frequently struggle with self-hating and critical thoughts. More than that one stood out to me, for me personally. This is a really, really good book. You also shared in the book that you, and I commend you because you left from high school and you went to LA and you relocated. So you went to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you said was you had a dark cloud over you. And I just want to say that you're courageous because even after all of that and you still managed to, you know, relocate, you still had the courage to do that. But can you elaborate a little about the dark cloud that you had? Because it may be someone, did you recognize the dark cloud? And then tell what happened when the church prayed for you.
Yes. The dark cloud was, you could feel it, the heaviness of it. And not only did I feel it, I saw it. I saw it in spirit. I saw this dark cloud. And the heaviness, because what I was going through is being rejected, it carried on to Vegas, where I live there too. But it carried on to Los Angeles. It did. I got out there and I experienced some more rejection. And it's just, you know, feeling the heaviness and this dark cloud just hovering over you. It was like there was no escape from this. But I knew that, you know, we knew about Jesus. I hadn't given my life over to Jesus at this point. Mm-hmm. I was 18 years old. I went to L.A. right after high school. And I just know I needed me some Jesus, and I needed to get to church, and I needed to get where they were, somebody was offering some type of help. So I went to church with my roommate, and when he did an altar call, I went on down there to the altar. And, you know, you went back there in the prayer room, and they prayed for you, the prayer of salvation. And, you know, immediately, and I mean immediately, instantaneously, there was a change. There was a lift. There was no more cloud. The cloud was gone. Amen. And I remember walking out that, out the church and, you know, just looking at things and everything was so different. It looked like the leaves, the trees were just waving at me or something, you know, you would think. Well, wow. Someone was thinking if they were on some drugs, you know, you hallucinate. You know what I'm saying? No. It was you know, when he come into your heart, he comes immediately. There's a change. There was an immediate change for me. It looked like things, life, I mean, like I said, the trees looked like they were waving, and I was seeing, like, you know, like I wasn't seeing before I walked through those church doors. And that lift upon me of that, I never saw that cloud again. Let's say that. It was gone.
Amen.
It was gone.
Amen. Wow.
It was gone. I went home, and, you know, you thought you could continue to do things you did. No. When Jesus come into your heart and that Holy Spirit, this is a new you. You have been born again, just like the word says. You have been born of the Spirit now. That, yeah, and that immediately the cloud and heaviness was gone. But even then, I still had some things to deal with, you know, and just my walk with Christ and, you know, the you know, growing with him, I, you know, he showed me where I needed to deal with forgiveness. I had to forgive those people. I had to forgive them in order to be healed because there are still scars and wounds on me left unhealed. And so in order for them to, you know, the Lord to heal you, you have to forgive. So that means I had to go back down memory lane and go over and every person that ostracized, every person that said something about me, I might not even knew them or their names or anything, but the Holy Spirit, as I did that, and I took him with me down this memory lane, amen, he would just show up things that I had forgotten people had did to me.
Wow.
And they, I would say, I forgive them, Lord, I forgive them. Tears streaming from my eyes. Just still, you're going to feel that pain, but better believe that's the last time you're going to feel it. You have to visit that place again if you want to be delivered and healed.
Yeah.
You're going to have to.
That's the word right there. Wow. Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's painful, you know. And would you consider that part of being, I know that was what you needed to go through to forgive and to heal, but would you consider that also part of the pruning process that a lot of people have to go through? Amen.
Yes.
Amen. That's good. So the spirit of rejection. Spirit of rejection. That's a powerful spirit. I mean, it really, woo. It's not something that people just are born with. It comes from living, being abandoned. It comes from experience. It's a root of it. So if there's anyone that's on the line that's dealing with any of like spirit of rejection, abandonment, anybody that's been ostracized, who need to forgive. Can you share with them scriptures also that would help them? Because one of the things you said you had to go through, God took you back, and things that you basically forgot about, God, you know, he just took you back, and I know that's painful. I don't know of anybody that's strong enough to go back and not feel the pain of the things that caused them to unforgive. If there's anybody, can you just say a prayer? Someone may be listening now, or someone may go back and listen to the recording. Can you say a prayer for those who are dealing with what you experienced?
Yes, God.
Or any of those.
No, I'm sorry. What did you say, Jason?
Oh, go ahead. Any. How, just let the Holy Spirit lead you.
Amen. Father God, we just thank you for this time and opportunity. We thank you for those that are listening and will listen, oh God, in the name of Jesus. For those, oh God, that have experienced rejection and being ostracized and just set aside, oh God, because of the lack of knowledge, because of society and the way that we think and how critical and judgmental that the world can be, Lord. I ask that you will heal them, that you would take them down that road of healing and deliverance, oh Jesus. Give them the courage and to go back and visit those places, but let them know this is the last time that they will feel that pain. You have to go back so that God can make those incisions. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, and cut those things out. And then you will be well. And you can say, well with my soul. Amen. In this scripture, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. That's John 15 and 18. Isaiah 53 and 3, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So he went through it before you did. They did him the same way. And that alone will bring some comfort, you know, a consolation and comfort to you. Jesus was hated. They still hate God. People hate God for no reason. Mm-hmm. All he did was give them life and send his son. And they hate him. So and what did he say? For my father, he said, even when my real mother and father forsake you, he'll take you up. And that's one thing the Lord showed me. You belong to me. No matter what they say, at 12 years old, he revealed to me, I am your father. I didn't understand it then. But I am your father. And that thing he told me, and he showed me when it comes to being healed of pains and things we've gone through. He told me it's just like going to the dentist. You know, your mouth hurting, that tooth is giving you your nerves, and that tooth is honey. They will send you to the moon. They hurt so bad. You know what I'm saying? But he said, when you go in there, it may hurt for them to take that tooth out. But remember, that's the last time you're going to feel that pain. Then it's gone.
Wow. Amen.
You know, people are afraid to go to the dentist, but that's okay. Okay, this is it. Okay, you out of here. I will not have a problem with you ever again. And when God healed me, I have not had a problem with that ever again.
Hallelujah. Wow. Yeah. So it's basically a choice. We have that choice whether or not we want to be healed, because healing is there. So thank you for sharing. We have a choice. And you also have a book, Why We Must Forgive. Is that the correct title of the book, Why We Must Forgive? Okay.
Yes, Why Must I Forgive.
Why Must I Forgive. Okay. Yes, yes.
Your
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that goes absolutely to anything. You know, it could be something to your job. It could have, you know what I'm saying? You could have just been mistreated by your employees, your boss, or favoritism. That goes all this across the board.
That's,
you know,
right. That's right. That's good.
But you have to forgive.
That's powerful.
That's your key.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Forgive.
That's good.
It's for you.
That's
not
really good.
Them. It's for you. And people, and when you grasp that concept, it becomes easier. Because you say, wait a minute now. Because some people that went on, honey, ain't thinking about you and what they did to you. They probably forgot. You know, or didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of here. You don't see them anymore. But yet you still hold it. You can't stand the sound of their name. You don't want to be around them. Oh, don't even talk to me about them. Oh, don't even bring their name up. You know, all of that. There's no peace in that.
Right.
There's no peace in that.
And one of the things that I like about your book also, and all of, you know, I know all of your books are just so powerful and anointed, but someone that reads your book, maybe they never even experienced this, but maybe they've been on the flip side. This book is a teaching book, because we don't realize how much damage we can do to someone who, by bullying them. We don't know that it could affect their entire life. We don't know that it could affect, it could affect them. So this book is, people need to be taught that. And I know back in the day, you know, when we were younger, we didn't have Facebook and YouTube and all these social media. We didn't have access to the internet. So now I believe that people are more aware because we can click on YouTube and run into stories about, you know, situations like this. But back then, people weren't. But still, it hasn't stopped bullying. It hasn't stopped people being, you know, judged by their appearance. It still hasn't stopped it. So awareness still needs to be made, and people need to still be sensitive and be taught, hey, you could damage somebody's life by judging them by the way they look or rejecting them, you know. And so thank you. So this book is not just for healing, but it's also to bring awareness. And, you know, that's what I I believe personally. So thank you. Yes. Well, I know we only have like 3 minutes left. Tell us about your newest book project and how to order your book and connect with you through social media.
The last part I didn't hear you, Kayla, about the social media.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and how to connect with you on social media.
Okay. This book was so spontaneous. I was just, you know, so much has been going on in the world, and so much has been going on with people that I love and my loved ones. And I was just saying, I wanted to get a quick book out. I'm like, well, I always like those little pocket books. You put in your purse, you put in your pocket, you know, real small. And I'm like, what do we need the most? And it's like, what we need the most is God's protection with all this stuff going on, all these killings and murders and shootings. I said, okay, I'm going to get some scriptures, you know, on divine protection, because I have testimonies of that, where the bully was, a gun was literally pointed in my face. So I know about God's divine protection and calling on him and calling on his blood. So that's how that came, you know, about, and it's 50 Bible verses in it. And it can be, it's sold on Amazon.com. I'm on the Facebook under Lucretia Valentine. I'm on YouTube. My YouTube channel is LV Inspirational Author on YouTube. And what are my other social medias? I think those two. There's probably more. I can't even remember. I'm on Instagram. And I'm on Instagram. My Instagram is I Am Valentine on Instagram. And I try to cover, and then my business page on Facebook is also LV Book Ministry International. And that is my book ministry. And my books are a ministry, you know, because they like you said, bring enlightenment, they bring deliverance, they're informative. And there is deliverance in them, and this is why the Lord will, you know, have me write them. I, you know, with the divine protection, I would get that and carry it with you. You always need to feel like God is with you, and sometimes it doesn't feel that way, but you can read those scriptures and be reassured that he is, amen, and know amen. That you are protected by him. Do not leave your home without him. Please
amen.
Don't.
Amen.
But
we have 30 seconds left, Lucretia. So we just thank you. We thank you for your time, and we want to just remind everyone, if you want to go back and listen to this powerful interview again, just go to blogtalkradio.com/SisterJada, and remember to be intentional, inspirational, and impactful. You have a closing scripture or closing word. We have like 10 seconds left.
May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God for you, and thank you for coming back again. And we love you. We love you, and we thank you for your wisdom.
Love you more. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.